Now, as you would know, we are heading towards the European elections, and we're joined now by two candidates, Senator Pauline O'Reilly of the Green Party. Good morning to you, Senator. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks a million.
And we're also in the company of Senator Lisa Chambers of Fianna Fáil, candidate as well for the Midlands Northwest European election. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Greg. Hi, Pauline.
Right. Now, Lisa, you have said, or at least you were quoted as saying, that Eamon Ryan is getting Green wrong and Fianna Fáil should ditch his party. What made you come out with such a statement?
Yeah, so it's focusing really on the offshore renewable wind sector that I believe the minister is not being ambitious enough for the west of Ireland and for the northwest. I met with him probably over a year ago now at this stage and have been engaging with the wind energy sector for most of this Oireachtas term. And there's been a lack of ambition and drive to allow us to get started on the West Coast. So what I mean by that is that we need to start mapping the West Coast, even just identifying sites. Then you have to move to getting a seabed lease. Then you have to move to doing your planning process, your environmental impact assessments. So it's a long road to get to a point where you can actually put a turbine way out at sea. But we haven't even gotten started yet. And I say that in the context of the west of Ireland having the second best wind corridor in the world, the best wind corridor in Europe. And yet when we look at future projections for wind energy, Ireland as a country isn't even in the top 10.
And why can't you and your party,
Portugal, are moving ahead?
I beg your pardon, Lisa. Why can't you and your party, though, explore these opportunities with the Greens rather than you, I suppose, opening up with both barrels on Minister Ryan, saying that he's too Dublin-centric, I believe. So why do you believe that the Green Party aren't the partners to achieve what you believe we should be achieving?
My own view on it, and I have engaged with Minister Ryan on this, as I said, quite some time ago. So this isn't my first time trying to advance this. And, you know, the elections, the European elections give you an opportunity and a platform to put forward your ideas and what and your vision for the region that you live in. So that's the context why I'm raising it more now as well. Look, I just think the Green Party, whilst good intentions, and I think in fairness, for a long time, they were the only party talking about climate change and addressing it. But that's changed now. Every party is green. We all know we have to reduce our emissions. We all know we have to tackle climate change. But it's about how we do that and the vision as to how we achieve that. And I just think the Green Party at times talk down to people. They present green as red, everything you can't do, everything you shouldn't do. And the easiest thing to do is just reduce consumption and just reduce your activities. But there's better ways of achieving this. And I think when we know that there are 10 times Ireland's energy needs sitting off the West Coast, and we have a Green Minister not even allowing us to cross the start line. We have a Green Minister that's saying, red, you can't do this, I'm not ready yet. And as I said, France, England, Portugal, they're all moving ahead on this. Okay. They're all investing.
Before I bring Senator O'Reilly in, though, is and your own party leader is very quick to point this out. I mean, you saw partners in government. It's not the Greens that set the agenda. It's the Greens. Perhaps they have their influence on it. But all three parties sign up to this. And, you know, whatever we are doing, your party leader is a co-signee. It's not like Eamon Ryan's on a solo run.
I'm not suggesting that Eamon Ryan is on a solo run. As I said, it's not a personal issue with Eamon Ryan. I think he's well-intentioned. But I think the Green Party are so focused on decarbonisation and reducing emissions and 2030 targets that they're missing the bigger picture. The Green can become the country's greatest economic opportunity if we have the vision and the ambition to go after it. And if we don't start now, I mean, the technology is there or thereabouts for the West Coast. You know, the Norwegians are putting it in the Arctic Sea. Scotland are moving ahead. Okay. They got planning permission for their first commercial wind farm a couple of days ago. So what we're asking is give us a few bob to get started on the planning. That's the ask. And I think that's a small ask for the West of Ireland. And I would expect every public representative in the West of Ireland to be rowing in behind this ask, because I think it's reasonable and I think it's showing that we're leading and ambitious for the region where we live.
OK, Senator Pauline O'Reilly, I'm sorry to wait so long to bring you in. I'll give you equal opportunity, of course. But quite the statements there from Senator Chambers.
Oh, look, I mean, you'd easily know there was an election coming up. And look, there's so much misinformation. I've pointed it out to Lisa. My colleagues have pointed it out to Lisa. And yet she still seems to be going down this same route of the Greens aren't as green as Fianna Fáil. Well, her own party colleagues wouldn't agree with her there. And, you know, like, it's quite disingenuous. And in actual fact, I can see one of the comments that Lisa has made is that farmers wouldn't have to do as much if we just did this one little thing. Well, it's not that small a thing. And in fact, it's her own minister, Dara O'Brien, who puts the resources into mapping, into marine planning, and hasn't been putting enough resources in. And obviously, if you've got other coastline to put in place the technology that does exist, you move forward with the technology that does exist. And look, I'm on the Joint Directors Committee on Climate. I've visited farms in Scotland. We have 18 foot high waves off the west coast. We're decades off where we need to be in terms of floating. So, of course, we'll move forward with it. But the idea that you don't do other things because we have this magical ability to have some future technology off the west coast, we need to map. Fortunately, now, eventually, the Fianna Fáil minister powers have been moved on to Eamon Ryan, and that's happening in the coming weeks. And Eamon Ryan is putting 25 more staff into the mapping. But it is the delays that are nothing to do with Eamon Ryan that Lisa Chambers obviously didn't know when she decided to go out on this. And now she just seems to be continuing down this line. But ultimately, it's a very challenging position for me to be in. I've always tried to get on with my government colleagues as much as possible. That's what we do in the Green Party. We negotiate and we collaborate. But I think what people need to think about is, what way would Lisa Chambers vote on anything if she went to Europe? Because I'm not sure whether she's saying that people aren't green enough or that people are too green. It's really unclear. Would she vote with her party colleagues on the Nature Restoration Law, for instance? Very unclear. And she had an opportunity, I suppose, to support the government, the greenest government in history, which is a government of three parties, the Green Party, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, instead of saying this, everything we've done is the fault of the Green Party. You just cannot abdicate yourself from responsibility when ultimately what we want, and what most people I speak to want, is they want a sustainable future, they want sustainable energy, and they want money in the pockets of family farms. Okay. And well, you can't do that if you say nothing needs to be changed in other sectors.
Well, Senator Let's Chambers, then, Senator thing. O'Reilly seems to be saying you got it wrong from the beginning. You were shown that you got it wrong from the beginning, and now you're doubling down.
There's actually quite a lot of that response there, so I've just made a few notes so I can come back. And I don't want to get into it. It's not a personal thing between myself and one other individual.
Well, it kind of is, because you're both looking for one of the five seats, so we might pretend it's not, but it is.
We're campaigning in a European election, but this is an issue that I've been working on for a number of years. So first of all, it's the responsibility of Eamon Ryan to progress energy. He's the Minister for Energy, okay? And it's Minister Eamon Ryan that the wind sector have actually been engaging with for years. So I don't know where this thing about it becoming Dara O'Brien's problem, but in any event, you know, we'll move on from
that. Is he not responsible to, I think, met Senator O'Reilly, and she's well capable to speak for herself, and she can at any point says that it was Minister O'Brien's responsibility to fund and staff the mapping that you're calling for?
Well, actually, the Department of Public Expenditure has funded 30 extra staff for mapping, not 25. And that's welcome. And I would love to see some of that resource be put into mapping the West Coast. So just a couple of points to respond to what Paulina said. I never said that the Greens were not as green as Fianna Fáil. I was never making that point. The Green Party, as I said at the outset, were one of the first parties out to focus on climate change. And that's to their credit. But my point was that all parties now acknowledge we need to work on getting emissions down and we need to be ambitious for tackling climate change. I never said farmers wouldn't have to do as much now. Farmers work with nature. They get it. They're already making changes. And the opportunities around biomethane to reduce emissions, to fuel agriculture is very real, and green hydrogen as well. When I said that, Pauline is saying that the technology doesn't exist, don't take my word for it. The wind industry are already, they're the ones lobbying. They're the ones that have come to me and Eamon Ryan. They want to get started. The technology is sitting off the coast of Scotland.
So before you go through your talking points, I do want to give Senator O'Reilly an opportunity to come back in there, because you're shaking your head, Senator.
Look, I mean, Lisa seems to think she's the only person that speaks to the energy industry. I mean, I was discussing this with Eamon.
Really,
well, one second now. I've discussed this with Eamon Ryan. I visited Scotland myself, and it is simply not available at the moment. And to sell people this idea that there's something there that this government, including you, are not doing, but that exists, I think is unfair to people, because you're not being honest about it. And you have had a lot of people push back on you on this. So, you know,
Senator O'Reilly, just let Lisa Chambers come back on that particular point, if you don't mind.
The only pushback, remarkably, I'm asking for a Green Minister to invest in green projects. The only pushback has been from the Green Party, from Pauline O'Reilly, Brian Leddon, her colleague, and the Minister himself. Pauline pointed to the wave heights. I spoke to the wind industry last night and representatives. They pointed out that off the coast of Portugal during Storm Ciarán, they had 18-foot wave heights. That wind farm survived. Mm-hmm. Off the coast of Portugal, they managed to get through Storm Ophelia. That demonstrator project still survived. I'm not suggesting, Pauline, and I'm not sure if you're deliberately, you know, taking up my point wrong. We're not talking about putting turbines off the West Coast tomorrow. What I'm saying is that it'll take us 10 years to be ready to do that. And what
you've stated that money has been allocated to start the mapping process. That's what you've been calling for. Is that not exactly, Greg?
Extra staff has been provided to mapping, but we have no confirmation yet as to where they're going to go. Minister Ryan is saying that he's not going to start mapping off the West Coast until maybe 2027 or 2028 at the earliest. We don't actually have a timeline. His direct response to me was that he's focusing on the East Coast and the South Coast, and that's where my comments around a Dublin-centric approach have come from. All we're asking for is a small amount of resources just to start the mapping process. We cannot wait. The idea that we would wait until the technology is perfect, we'll be 10 years behind.
Understood. Pauline, come back in, please. Yes.
You're misunderstanding the point, Lisa. The point is about construction. The point isn't what survives if you have a big storm. The construction off the West Coast right now cannot happen because we don't have enough days where you can construct. But that aside, your overall starting point was about the fact that agriculture wouldn't have to do as much and that you feel that not enough is being done off the West Coast. We are all on the same team here. We all want to see more wind off the West Coast. There's 80 gigawatts potential. But what you misunderstood from the start was that the responsibility and the resources was under your own minister, Dara O'Brien, who could have progressed it. And now it is being moved to Eamon Ryan. So, look, I don't know why you've taken this approach.
Eamon Ryan won't let us get started. That's the point I'm making. And
to that specific claim, Lisa, sorry, just about the Minister Ryan said no.
We can get into an over and back here now. But ultimately, more resources were being sought from Dara O'Brien that were not being given, right? So now it is being moved into Eamon Ryan. But I don't want to go over and back on this. What I really want to say...
Can I clarify, Pauline, are you supportive, like the question I'm asking for a Green representative in the West, are you supportive or not in asking your party leader, who has responsibility now for resources to start the planning off the West Coast? I think suggesting that I'm misleading people that the technology isn't there, the actual experts, the engineers and the scientists are telling us they know that technology is on the way.
Pauline O'Reilly, are you in favour of Senator Chambers' calls that the West is not excluded as part of this process? The East and South seems to have been mentioned by...
We all want the mapping to happen everywhere. But if you have limited resources, you don't put it into something where the technology... Lisa may say that the technology exists. It doesn't. She's wrong.
You're happy for it to go to the East and South Coast. That's the message, really, from a Green Party representative in the West.
Sorry, but you keep talking about experts. I am telling you that I have access to experts and the technology simply does not exist.
But in terms of the money, the specific point that Lisa's mentioned a couple of times, if whatever money we have, all right, it might not be enough, whatever money you have seems to at this point now be earmarked for the East and South Coasts. What Senator Chambers is saying, if I understand correctly and perfectly capable of saying herself, is that at the very least you as a West of Ireland rep should be saying, that's great, it's a small spot, but let's give the West its fair share, or let's actually positively discriminate against the West. Would you back those calls? Would you be in favour of that?
We have to do all three areas. We have to do the east, we have to do the south, and we have to do We have to do all three. But what we need is, this is what we need, is energy security. And the technology does exist for the other parts. So we can't delay those. We can't delay those with resources for something that does not yet exist. But what I, my ultimate point comes back to, that you keep evading here, is that you seem to feel that farmers wouldn't have to do as much if this was done. And that
I addressed that point, if you were listening to me earlier, and I never said that. What I said was that farmers are already doing their fair share. They already work with nature. They're reducing their emissions using technology. I think the Green Party, and I agree with this, are not calling for a reduction in farming, and unless that position has changed. Now, when I talk about the technology, let's look at other countries. Don't listen to me, Polly. Let's look at what other countries are doing. So,
okay,
in terms
just
of the
before, right, we'll go back to that, Lisa. Just one quick response for Polly on that specific point.
I want to come back in on that point. So, nobody in Ireland should be saying that enough is being done in any area. More needs to happen in every single area.
But in fairness, Pauline, the farmers are the cheap shot in this. The farmers were the heroes during lockdowns because they were going to save the world, right? And then very quickly it's gone back to it's cows breaking wind that's the issue. What we're seeing is we're seeing the lowest use of the likes of oil heating. We're not seeing as much burning of solid fuel. We're seeing farmers making their sacrifices. And that's all being offset by the fact that we're buying record levels of aviation fuel. So as a country as a whole, right, lots of people are making sacrifices, but it seems to be particularly rural Ireland that's doing the heavy lifting here. And still you come back for more, still more carbon tax goes on. I'm not sure if that's Lisa's point, but I couldn't resist jumping in there and making that point too, Paul. Yeah, no, people feel the heat on and off.
I didn't actually address the point there, just to say Lisa has signed up to this. This is the point that I'm making. Lisa has signed up
to what, Pauline?
An emissions reduction from agriculture of 25%. Like, you've signed up to that, but now you seem to be saying that you don't want to go that far, that enough is being done already.
I don't know how many times.
And therefore you're being disingenuous.
Okay, Pauline, if Lisa feels that you're actually just misinterpreting her words, it's very important that you, Lisa Chambers, gets to say specifically what you're saying.
Can I just clarify, I think probably for the third or fourth time on this call, I'm well aware of the carbon budgets that we put into legislation. I'm well aware of the climate action plan. So I think this is part of the talking down to other. I think sometimes in the Green Party, there's a view that nobody else can care about climate or nobody else has any good ideas about climate, or they couldn't possibly understand what they're talking about. Everyone knows every sector has to reduce emissions. But we haven't been doing enough to find a new clean green energy source. And my focus has been on offshore renewable energy. And let's look at what other countries are doing. Pauline is saying that, yes, we have to map everywhere, but we just can't do the West Coast right now. Scotland finished all of their demapping more than 3 years ago. So why are we not finishing all of ours? Why is the West Coast having to wait? And let's look at what other countries are doing while Ireland is thinking about crossing the start line here in the West Coast. The ESB, our semi-state company, of which Eamon Ryan is a shareholder, is investing in an offshore floating project in Scotland, off Malinhead, and also another one off the Shetland Islands. England are developing a 16.5 megawatt farm in the Celtic Sea, and France are investing over 4 billion in offshore floating projects. And South Korea will have a fully operational wind farm floating offshore by 2028. They're the best wind corridor in the world. We're the second best. So while Eamon Ryan is thinking about crossing the start line and telling us the technology isn't ready, the wind industry, the actual experts, the scientists, the engineers, they're just asking, let them take the brakes off and let them get
I don't
started.
Want to go around in circles. So, Pauline, just in your response, maybe not to reiterate the remarks that you made. I'm not trying to control what you're saying. I hope you understand that. But just maybe without reiterating, unless you really want to, just to respond to the examples laid out by Senator Chambers there.
Well, I've mentioned it numerous times myself, and Lisa doesn't seem to be able to accept this, that the topography is different. And I've been to Scotland myself. The topography is different. The depths are different. The wind is different.
So
the heights of
Pauline,
the waves. And I have spoken
come
to
on now.
Right,
come
Pauline,
on.
Is it just because I think I'm quite a normal person, can I not ask a question? Is it not the case really that in the West is grand, right? But really, we need to generate an awful lot of electricity for Dublin, for the data centres, for all of that kind of stuff. And that really we don't want to pump it across the country. We'd prefer not to take water from the Shannon. And really the reason this money is being focused in those areas is really to satisfy the electricity need. And it's not really, and it's really as basic as that.
I think that Lisa is trying to play on that instead of actually looking at the facts and putting herself forward as an expert here when actually...
Well, everyone's entitled to opinion, Pauline. Everyone's
said I'm an expert and I know that I'm not, and neither are you and neither is Eamon Ryan. No, I'm actually talking to other experts and putting forward...
Okay, can I just say, can I just before we wrap it up then, put it to you and then I'll get a response from Senator O'Reilly and then let both of you go. I do appreciate your time. This is not the first time you've sort of been out of step, Lisa, you know, with the government. There's comments about immigration and there's been comments about the referendum whereby, you know, you've sort of stepped out of what people would see as the Fianna Fáil line on certain things or on policies. Like, is this an election strategy? Are you wobbling in your support of Fianna Fáil? Because, as I say, you are speaking the people's language, in inverted commas, which often is not the language of your party. And I don't mean that anti-Fianna Fáil. I hope you understand the point I'm trying to make.
I do. No, I get the point you're making. No, I'm not out of line with my own party in terms of after a new wind. And
but
you know
more
what?
Generally, I mean, I'm talking about more forward. Generally is this campaign, Lisa. I'm moving past the energy, if that's okay. I mean, in this, because Pauline might say, well, listen, I'm a loyal Green member and you're not playing fair here because, you know, you're playing with one foot in Dublin, one foot in the West. Like, is it fair what you're doing, sort of speaking not in line with Fianna Fáil policy, but running under the Fianna Fáil banner on a lot of stuff?
This is not out of line with Fianna Fáil policy, so I'll just make that point. And, you know, like, I've been working on the offshore wind piece for a number of years. This is not just
that.
Part of...
I mean more generally.
I genuinely believe this is so important for our region. We get so little investment. Our infrastructure is 34% of the EU average. So I make no apology for fighting for the region that we live in. Mm-hmm. And as a European candidate, this is a platform and an opportunity to advance my ideas and my vision for where we live.
Brilliant. And I respect that.
The easiest thing politics great to do is have no opinion.
No, I'm sorry. Well, I respect that. You're a regular guest on this radio station for the very reason you've just outlined. But I'll put the same question. I mean, Senator Chambers, Pauline decided to answer the question how she decided to answer it. But I'll ask you to respond however you'd like to respond as to how she's conducting her campaign.
Look, it's up to Lisa. The electorate will decide whether they can trust what Lisa's saying. And, you know, I can only put out the facts. I'm as honest as I can be. It's a very cheap shot, I think, to say Fianna Fáil shouldn't work with Eamon Ryan and shouldn't work with the Greens when you've been in government for 4 years. And I think it's kind of unbelievable in a sense. Like, why did you not make this decision a couple of years ago if you didn't want to be in government with the Greens? But you've now decided we're the greenest government ever. You want to distance yourself. So now you're having a cheap shot a month before an election. And as my colleagues said in a tweet, is Lisa next going to come out and say that she actually voted for the Green Party, having campaigned for Fianna Fáil? Nobody quite knows what you're going to come out with next.
Okay,
and you did actually say agriculture
statement. Pauline,
I would say play the ball, not the woman, Paulina.
I think, you know, we need to be honest with the electorate.
We should be working together on this, Pauline.
We should be working together.
You can't expect Pauline to turn on Eamon as well, can you?
All
right. Okay, listen, both of you. It's going to be an intriguing campaign. I think we can all agree on that. 27 candidates now vying for 5 seats, 2 of them. Pauline O'Reilly and Lisa Chambers, both of you, thank you very much indeed. Okay, take care of yourselves. Interesting stuff, I think you would agree. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 07491 25,000. Not going to lie, it's been chilly enough on the it's been quiet enough this morning in terms of the text and what have you, but things have really fired up following on from that conversation. All right, let's take a break, back with more in a moment. Right, Paddy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for taking my call.
No, listen, it's good to have you listening. Good to have you getting involved. What have you got to say?
I was hoping to get on when them girls were on, but them ladies were on. But the Green Party need to get a wee bit of clarity on what's going on. It's not the livestock in Ireland that's going to cause global warming or the carbon content. You know, as Hamas got off 300 missiles into Israel, Israel got off maybe 500 to 1,000. Over 500,000 Russian soldiers were killed since the war started in Ukraine. I don't know how many Ukrainian soldiers are, and they're all fighting with missiles every time one of them taken off. Like, that's nothing to do with the livestock in Ireland. I think the Green Party needs to get a wee bit of clarity. You know,
I know people what you're saying, Paddy, but listen, if we were waiting, you know, if we were waiting till there were no wars in the world, and we were waiting to every country wasn't, building coal fire plants, we'd never get started at all. I mean, do we not just have to do our bit and hope that the world follows?
Yes, in the perfect world, yeah, I agree with you there, no problem. But if we slaughtered every livestock in Ireland today, right, and stopped producing beef or a cattle or anything, we would still have the same amount of global warming, same amount of carbon content on the world. Just because we do it in this country, as Jim said, we're going to be all right above us.
Yeah, but we started the smoking ban, and now we have generations not smoking. They followed us around the world. I take your point, Paddy, and I know we could start talking about... We're also talking about importing beef from Brazil to Europe to here, Eastern European beef coming in here. How is that environmentally friendly? I know there's a lot of holes in it, but I just wonder, do we have to try and start somewhere?
Well, maybe, but I don't think it's. I don't think the Green Party is in touch with the people that they're supposed to represent. As you said there not so long ago, during the COVID, the farmers and they held the country together.
They were the saviours, and then all of a sudden it was back to saying. I just think it's worth reiterating, because another layer of carbon tax come in here. You know, we've been burning the least amount of gas, oil, coal, turf than we have forever. And all of that was undone by more flights in and out of Dublin. Now, it's us on the flights as well, by the way. These planes aren't empty. But it is a bit of a crack in the teeth when you're struggling to pay your bills. There's a carbon tax to discourage you driving and burning oil and stuff. And yet it makes no difference really as a countrywide because of the aviation fuel. But Paddy, I get you. I get you.
No,
I just wonder sometimes where do we start? Because your argument stands, right? But we would never do anything then, because you're always going to be right. There's always going to be reasons as to why we shouldn't bother even starting, Paddy. Do you get me? So I fully respect what you're saying, but I'm just, what's the alternative?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what the alternative. I'm not a scientist or academic, but I know. We produce electric cars, hybrid cars. And I mean, the amount of carbon it takes to even produce one battery, is a wee bit hypocritical.
Over the lifetime of the vehicle, it's zero emissions from the exhaust, and over the lifetime of the vehicle, impactful.
It's really for the Green Party to turn around and say it's the farmers' fault people who cut turf.
So if you're voting in the elections, there's 27 candidates. How far down the list are you going to go?
I'll vote local people.
Right. I think it's only me and you that aren't running, Paddy. Everyone else seems to be running for either the council or the Europeans.
Well,
listen, it's been lovely chatting to you, Paddy.
Lovely. Thank you for your attendance. Thank you.
Take care of yourself. Thanks so much. All right, we were talking about fishing earlier as part of Your Voice, Your Community. And Paddy Donaghy is from the Lough Swilly Junior Angling Club, because we were talking about too, how do we get more young people fishing? Plenty are fishing too. Paddy, good morning to you. Imagine why. How are you keeping?
Hello, Greg. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Right now, as part of the Loch Swilly Junior Sea Angling Club, there's quite a bit of good news in that regard. Young people getting involved in fishing, competing in fishing. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, we take young ones out fishing out to sea, and that's going quite well. We have quite a few members there at the minute. That's all the younger ones that we're dealing with. So we could have ones maybe as young as 8 there, then up to 21. We have members at the minute have qualified for the World Championships, and they're actually being hosted in Ireland this year. It's at our own club. It's hosting it from Downing's.
All right. And that's in August this year. That's going to be a great buzz, isn't it? Okay. So that's handy. They don't have to travel too far. They don't have to travel too far to take part in the World Sea Angling Championships, Paddy.
Yeah.
And there's
three members that's going to be fishing there in the Irish team for the World Championship. So it's a great achievement.
And it's a great sport or pastime activity, however you want to describe it, Paddy, for young people to get involved in. I don't think anyone who's sort of, you know, taking their sons out, I've done it, and others have. There's nothing like that initial reaction, is there, when they catch or get the first fish? It's just a wonderful thing.
That's brilliant when you see the younger ones and them catching their first fish. It's great excitement on it altogether.
Right, so any parents listening or guardians listening that sort of would like their children to get involved in fishing, to try it, see if it's something they could do through the summer or what have you, like, can people join the likes of the Loch Swilly Junior Angling Club and the other clubs we have around the county?
Of course, we're always looking for new members and everything, because, of course, the members that you have there, they're always getting older as well. So now there's actually a senior club as well, the Swilly Senior Club as well, you know, for any older members, and they're always looking for new members as well, you know. So there is a lot going on that side of the fishing as well, you know. So
great, okay. Stay in touch with us, Paddy. We'll try and set something up ahead of August. Chatting to the young ones as they take part in that competition, especially with it being in Downing's, in our own backyard. So we'll
That'd be great.
No, we'll definitely follow that up.
Yeah, the opening ceremony is actually going to be in Letterkenny.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be based in the Station House Hotel, and the ceremony, we're going to have a parade going down through the street with all the different countries as well.
Wow, looking forward to that. Brilliant.
It's the America Open ceremony and all that. So
it ticks a lot of my boxes. Yeah, there's fishing good. And there's parades and parties. All right, take care, Paddy. Thank you so very much indeed, Paddy Donaghy there. Now, Donegal Down Syndrome, the Donegal branch of Down Syndrome Ireland, has arranged for a visit to Letterkenny by Anya Flynn. She's the director of the Decision Support Services. Now, this is a unique chance to hear directly about how the new Capacity Act may affect your ability to support your family member, or how to arrange for the future when you too might need support. Anya Flynn, good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you.
And this is an awful lot of people campaign for this along for a long time. This is really how we implement and how we avail of the changes in how we deal with these things.
Yeah, we're talking here about the Assisted Decision Making Capacity Act, which was finally commenced in April of last year. We just celebrated our first birthday as operational legislation last Friday. So this is an act which does a lot. And as you say, it was waited for a long time. The act repeals the Victorian Wards of Court system for adults, which has operated since 1871, the Lunacy Regulation Act of 1871, so around for 150 plus years. So no more wards of court. All adult wards of court are coming out of wardship. And this is replaced then with a new framework for supported decision making, with tiered levels of support measured to what a person might require. So that's to supply the necessary supports, if people need them, in relation to making decisions about their personal welfare and their property and affairs. And as you say, for all of us to think about planning ahead, we don't know when at a future point in our lives we might need support to exercise our own right to make mm-hmm. decisions.
So currently there might be people with an intellectual disability, maybe an acquired brain injury, dementia, things that are current that this this talk will be very useful for. Are you saying also for those who aren't in that position at the moment but want to ensure if they do become incapacitated in any way that their decisions are followed through, that now is actually also a good time to inform yourself and put your arrangements in place?
Yeah, well, thinking first of all about people who have perhaps, as you say, an intellectual disability, acquired brain injury, dementia, enduring mental illness, we aren't saying for a moment, and the Act doesn't say that they need to do something or that they need a formal arrangement. It's always going to depend on individual circumstances and the decisions that people need to take. And the guiding principles here are very important. The first guiding principle states that every adult is presumed to have capacity, and it's no longer about diagnosis or how somebody presents. This is a functional approach to capacity. It's about the thing that you need to decide and when you need to decide it. So moving away from that unsound mind idea that applied in wardship, which could really consume all of your decisions. This will be very much an individual thing. People shouldn't approach it thinking about how I am or how my loved one is, but rather what they need to decide.
So,
and
say
the Act can deploy supports.
The parents or guardians of someone with an intellectual disability, and they advocate for them at the moment, okay? But life is life, and we never know what's going to happen next. And you'd be well aware of the anxiety that causes the caregiver because they feel, well, what happens when I'm not there? Can things be put in place now that maybe to some extent might ease some of their concerns using this Act?
Yeah, and one important thing to say, and sometimes this isn't fully understood, there is an established but a misconceived idea that the next of kin gets to decide currently. Next of kin is such an unhelpful term, and I really wish we could do away with it, because there actually never has been a legal basis for an adult to decide for another adult as of right or automatically outside of a formal arrangement. The Act has taken nothing away in that regard. Instead, it's supplied potential for the, in quotes, next of kin to step into a formal role if that's required. But yeah, so the Act, one of our most important audiences in the Decision Support Service are family carers, and of course the ultimate potential service user. So our aim is always to reassure, to say, look, here is an opportunity to avail of supports. It's not being imposed, and people shouldn't feel that they have to rush to do something new. Again, they should always think about, well, what comes up, what might need to be decided? Is it a decision making around, for example, an inheritance, an award of compensation, property that needs to be sold, healthcare that might need to be accessed? Who's the third party in that kind of arrangement? Who's saying, who's deciding here? And does the Act have something to offer here that can help? So we aim always to reassure. And it's a continuing conversation. Yes. We're more than happy to reach out to these people.
And I think that's why this talk is so important, because even listening now, people might be a little unsure where they fall into it at this stage in the life or into the future and what have you.
Sure.
And that's why this talk is so important. It's at the Station House, Letterkenny, on Wednesday the 8th, and it's not a huge time commitment, 7pm to 8:30pm. There's going to be huge interest in this, and of course, you know, there's always going to be a limit to capacity, so booking is essential. And you can go on to eventbrite.ie and search Conversation with Áine Flynn. There's a €5 charge. It's a small charge. I think it's really to offset the cost of refreshments and what have you. Okay. And also Donegal Down Syndrome can be contacted. I have the number here. There's no point in me reading it out because we're reading our own numbers all the time. Call us and we'll pass it on. As I say, I think there's going to be a big turnout on you for this. Because
I hope
it's,
so, yeah.
Greg,
but people can find out more about us on decisionsupportservice.ie. You mentioned there thinking about how the Act applies to all of us, how all of us should think about planning ahead. And that's going to be a key focus of our public information campaign this year. But lots more information is available on the website about the existing support framework. You will find there, and I hope they're useful, documents like an easy read guide to the Act and a document called My Choices, which we hope will also help. But also document materials that point towards the importance of planning ahead for all of us.
Áine, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to having you in Letterkenny for that important talk. Take care of yourself. That's a conversation with Áine Flynn, who's the Director of the Decision Support Services. It is in Station House, Letterkenny, Wednesday the 8th, between 7pm and 8:30pm. You can book your place by going to eventbrite.ie, and where you can search Conversations with Áine Flynn. Donegal Down Syndrome locally, you can call them on 91 03527, and I'm sure they will help wherever they can. Okay, right. We are going to be going down to Letterkenny bus station very shortly, you know. But I can see from here that it is nice and bright and potentially warm too down at Bus Éireann, the bus station in Letterkenny. Sean Quinn's with us. Hi, Sean.
Morning, Greg. How are you? Yes, it's definitely sunshine
here.
We're
just going to have to turn your mic down a little bit. It's overdriving for us there, Joe. Sorry. Go on, Sean.
We're in T-shirts here. It's beautiful weather. We have a big crowd here, and we're here today for the Bus Éireann Appreciation Day. We couldn't really have picked a better day to do this. And you can see it's live action here because I have a bus coming right behind me at the moment. I think it's heading for Galway. So we're real time. We're absolute real time here, Greg.
Yeah, fantastic. Great to see it. So what's happening today? You've got there at 11. As you say, it's part of the Delight the Customer Day. So what's on offer from us? What's on offer from Bus Éireann?
So what we're doing is we're entertaining them with fantastic music. And what Bus Éireann are doing as an appreciation to their customers is they've got some great goodies to give away. So they've got one for all vouchers, and they've also got a lovely hamper that they got from McGee's Chemist. So anybody that's coming down here today, whether you're taking a bus somewhere or you're just coming into the shopping centre, come in and say hello and enter the draw. And you never know, you might just be lucky.
Yeah, indeed. Okay. And the draw's free to entry. You just have to come up and...
Just come up to one of the staff here. Martina's here. She's already got loads of people in the drum. So if you're in the area, just come down. And because the day is so good, Greg, guess what? We've got an ice cream van here.
No, you don't.
We do. You can't see to my left, but the ice cream van is here. So I'd expect you down here about 12:15, would I say, for a 99?
Well, no, I've so much work to do. It would be at least 2:15, Sean.
I'll see you 12:30 then. Actually, I have a good challenge for you, Greg. I dare you to come down because I'd love to see you actually making an ice cream.
That's your and David James thing. We're going to have to come up with something else. I can't encroach on you and David. It's you and former colleague Kevin pulling pints. I think it's you and Sean pulling ice creams. Me and you are going to have to dance off or something. We're going to have to do something else.
What about maybe reversing a bus or something? That might be a bit dangerous.
I don't think Bus Éireann would allow me in behind the wheel of their bus.
I don't think so. And to be fair, I wouldn't blame them. I've seen you driving into Highland. It's not good.
No, you're right there, Sean. You are right. Hey, but come here, what a day for it, though. And you're going to be hooking into John Breslin as well, I think, over the course of the early afternoon, Sean.
We are indeed, yeah. And what we're hoping to do is that we're going to do the draw around about 1:40, Greg. So if you're, as I said, if you're in the area for the next couple of hours, pop in. There's loads of parking here. Call across, get an ice cream, say hello to the staff, and you'll learn a little bit more about the services that Bus Éireann provide on a daily basis. And as I said, it's great that they're able to do this, to give back to their customers. And so, as I said, if you're in Letterkenny, come down and see us, and we'll be back in with John. I think it's close to 1:00 we're going to come back in.
Excellent. Looking forward to that. And of course, for those outside Letterkenny or not in the area, they can get a sense of what's happening across our socials too, I'm sure, Sean.
Yeah, there's loads of videos going up. Come across and say hello to the Highland team. We'll get a few photographs taken as well with you. And we've been so blessed with the weather. How much rain have we had here in the last 2-3 months today? Blue skies. I'm in a T-shirt, 19 degrees. I've got an ice cream in about the next 10 minutes. what a job I have, Greg.
You're working on your golf and tan. White upper arms, everything's working
perfect.
Please
God, please God.
Okay. Listen, enjoy the day, and we'll chat to you again soon. Thanks so much for joining us for now, Sean.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, take care. Thanks, Joe, Anya, and the team down there as well. If you're in and around the bus stop, in and around, you know, the Bus Éireann bus stop there, in and around the Letterkenny Shopping Centre, call in, say hi. There's ice cream there as well. Sounds absolutely wonderful. Okay, it is the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. As I say, the lines lit up. It was quiet. Caroline, it was quiet enough in the text machine earlier on, wasn't it? Like, we're going, well, where is everyone? And, you know, all of a sudden, the phones lit up because people were very moved by what was talking about. Moved to comment, not moved emotionally. But the way they came in late, I'm not going to get to all of them today, so we're going to do some of those tomorrow. And in fact, you know, maybe we might pick up some of these topics on the Friday panel tomorrow. We've got three great guests. We're going to be talking about some really interesting topics we might talk about. Do you think, for an example, that we've got 27 European candidates now? You only really need one person to nominate you. Should you need 500, 1,000 signatures before you can become a candidate? Or do you think it's great, you know, that It's great, though, that democracy's in action. Democracy's in action, and anyone can throw their hat into the ring. Also, too, there's going to be an awful lot of people that are able to vote in the local elections, including those that only moved to Ireland recently, from wherever they may have come. You don't need to be a citizen to vote. Some people not happy about that. We'll see what our panel thinks, see what you think. That and so much more besides, topics-wise, and we'll see whatever's happening overnight. So that's the Friday panel from 9 till 10 tomorrow. It's a great hour of radio, so make sure you tune in for that and for the rest of the day. A caller says the alternative is for Ireland and Europe to return to regenerate organic farming, ban factory farming and fishing, support local farmers and fishermen, ban data centres and all useless plastic products, and start reusing hemp or bamboo, which can be grown faster and can be used again instead. Another caller says there is alternatives to fossil fuel, which Ireland had been to the forefront for many years. So what happened to the technology that was created by these companies and by colleagues in universities of Ireland going back to the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s, respectively? European elections, a caller says, it's a joke, it's a paycheck for failed politicians that can't get into the doll. Another, the Green Party are a cult. If they're serious about cutting emissions, they should boycott all the big polluters, USA, China, India, Brazil. But they won't. That won't happen because big business run the show and poor people like us have to pay. And lastly, a caller believes global warming is a myth. Go and tackle the big industries that are pouring smoke into the air every day and find them. Leave the wee man alone. But sure, if global warming is a joke or a myth, sure, it doesn't matter what the big boys are pumping into the sky, because it's making no difference according to the belief system of that listener. Thank you to Caroline Orr, who researched and produced, and assisted by Shannon Wilkin. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning, as I mentioned, at 9.